Tremendous. Nearer, my God, to thee. That ought to be our ongoing prayer. Amen. That we would draw closer to the Lord each and every day. All right, we had our Bible reading in Psalm 119. So that's where I mentioned, that's where our message, where my message is going to go today. So if you'll turn to Psalm 119. And what a great psalm that this is. And again, the 176 verses speak to the Word of God. It speaks all about the Word of God, whether it's statutes or testimonies or commandments or thy Word. The Word of God is referred to in numerous ways. It's speaking about the Word of God and what it does in our life and how God uses it. And so I want to speak today on the particular subject of the Word of God quickens. The Word of God quickens. And that word quickens is a word we don't really use very often. I don't think we use that word in our vocabulary, but quicken means to make alive, to make alive. That's what happened when we got saved. We were made alive in Christ. And the Word of God does that in our hearts as well. Now, I know I'm very, very grateful about what took place, 12 days ago with an election. So I'm very, very thankful for that. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. But what we need in this country, yes, I'm grateful for the president that's going to be coming in and all of that. But what we really need, folks, in this country is we need revival. We need revival. And revival begins, as we always say, as we read in the Word of God, it begins here. It begins here, right here in this church. And it begins, within our own individual lives. So beyond that, beyond just our church, we don't want to just speak about it in a corporate sense, but we also want to think about it. It needs to begin on an individual level. Okay, it needs to happen in each and every one of our lives. We ought to be determined that God is doing a work in our hearts, and then we want to do all that we can to keep stoking the fire. That's so important. We don't want to do it, be inconsistent about it, get excited about the things of the Lord here and there, but we want to be excited about the things of the Lord on a regular basis. Now listen, we're all going to, I'm trying not to be unrealistic because, listen, we all have our times when we feel like you're in the dumps some days. You've heard that term, right? Some of you feel like you were in the dumps this last week. You don't have to raise your hand, okay? But, yeah, we all get there. So, as far as just being human and understanding that, listen, we're going to have our rough times. But we ought to just keep our eyes on the Lord and be disciplined enough to turn unto Him and understand, maybe what God's doing, what's happening in our lives, but get our lives back and stay on track with Him. And ask the Lord to do that work in our hearts so that that revival will take place in our life. But it begins, it starts off with a commitment. In every one of our lives, it just doesn't happen. It happens when we're at a place where we make a commitment unto the Lord, a personal one between us and the Lord, a commitment toward the Lord certainly, but a commitment to His Word. We need to make a commitment to His Word. We'll see that here in just a moment. The Bible is the foundation of our faith. Amen. I believe this is a perfect book. I really do. I don't think there's any errors at all in it. It's our bedrock, folks. It's our anchor. It is through this book that we know anything at all. God has laid it out so clearly. We understand that His Word is eternal. His Word's eternal. It is God-breathed. He spoke. It's God-breathed. That's what the meaning of that means. It is supernatural. It is beyond anything that we might get our hands on. It is beyond that. It comes from an omnipotent, omniscient God who knows all things. And let's understand that His Word will quicken us. All right, it'll bring us to life. It'll get us to places where maybe it'll pull us out of the doldrums or out of those dumps that I was talking about. Folks, it will revive us. So Psalm 119, we'll take a look at verses 25 through 29, and we'll go probably all the way through verse 56 and touch on that. But verses 25 through 29 says this: "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Make me alive again, Lord. Help me. My soul, it cleaves unto the dust, but quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Lord, will you teach me thy statutes, thy word, thy declarations? He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts or thy teachings. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. I want to speak about your wondrous works. Let it just get ingrained into my heart. My soul melteth for heaviness. We've been there, right? Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. That's a great prayer right there from the psalmist, whoever did write this, whether it was David or someone else. There's not a name attached to it. We'll just call him the psalmist. But with that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to talk about how the word of God quickens and makes alive. And we need that today, folks. Father, we thank you that we can come before you, that we can address you. It is a wonderful thing, Lord, to know that you hear us. You don't hear us for our sakes, but it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come in his wonderful name, and we thank you again, Lord Jesus, that you made that great sacrifice for us on the cross at Calvary, and you shed allowed your precious blood to be shed on our behalf. And we thank you for every one of us that are saved today, what you did for us, and how we have that eternal life through you. And so, dear Father, we look unto you. We ask that you'd bless this day. We ask that you'd bless the reading of your word. I thank you for what has taken place so far. Thank you for the singing that we just heard, a tremendous special, and for the opportunities that we had to sing unto you. And we thank you, Lord, for time that we had earlier in prayer in Sunday school, and we thank you for what we heard in Sunday school about an appreciation for all of the blessings that you've given unto us. And so we thank you, Lord. We sang about count your blessings. We know we couldn't count them if we tried, but we thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. You bless us over and over. We thank you, Lord, for what took place on an election 12 days ago. We're thankful for that, Lord, but help us not to rely on any of that. Lord, help us to realize that, Lord, our trust is in you. Lord, we come to you, and we come to your throne of grace. And Lord, we thank you that you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. You know all things. Nothing gets by you. Nothing takes you by surprise. And so we would ask that today, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, help us in regard to your word. Lord, help us to realize that it quickens, that it brings life. Lord, forgive me for limiting you. I pray that you'd forgive us if we've limited you in a number of ways. You're the great God. Help us to understand that with you, all things are possible. So we pray that you'll work today. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to love your word. Help us to realize what your word can do in our lives. And may we love it. And Lord, may our love for you be shown by the love that we have for your word. So we pray for Christ to be glorified today. We pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to take a look at how the Word of God, this first thing that I want to bring forth is the Word of God brings life. Again, that's what quickening, the word quicken means. But the Word of God brings life. Listen, we like things that are alive, don't we? Don't you like things when they're hopping? We say, man, things are, it's alive in here, right? You come into a one on a Wednesday night, it's alive. I love it, all right? I don't like dead things. Do you like dead things? I don't like dead things. I remember way back when I was in my 20s and I worked for Altadena Dairy, you know, and there was a stretch of time when I went back to Chino, California. That was a ways out there where all the dairy farms were. And I remember going out there and, during the summer, that was not the place where you wanted to be. Think about that, okay? You can probably put two and two together. And you go out there and there were flies all inside the truck cab. I mean, they were just all over. It was like Egypt all over again and the plague of the flies. That's what it felt like. And I remember driving and going out there and, you know, having to pick up some milk or make some deliveries. There were different things that we did when we went out there. And I remember here and there just seeing some dead cows along the side of the road. some of those farms, you know, some of the cows would die, and they would put them out right by the driveway, right by the street, because they had a guy that would come and pick up dead cow services. I don't think that that's what they were called, but there was a guy that picked them up with a big forklift and got them onto his truck. And I tell you, during the summer, that was not a pretty sight. Some of those cows would get really bloated looking. And, you know, I'd be out with some guys, hey, you want to go take a look? No, I don't really care about looking at a bloated, dead cow. Thank you. So I wasn't interested in a dead cow back then that was all bloated. And I really don't care for dead things. And I don't think any of us do. We like things that are alive. When we came to faith, when we came to Christ by faith, it was the Word of God which did its work in us. And it quickened us. We were dead. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Folks, we were dead. And as that verse there in verse 25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust," our souls had cleaved unto the dust. We were lost. We were without hope, and we were without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also, not only is it a picture of where we were when we were lost, but it's also a good picture of where we were at when we've gotten away from the things of God. When we began to walk carnally instead of on a spiritual path. Even sometimes it happens just incrementally. Sometimes it happens in small degrees that we find ourselves drifting away from the things of the Lord. Have any of you ever found that to be so? Where you can begin to start drifting little by little, and then you realize, wow, things are different with me. It's not good. I'm not excited when I hear somebody getting saved, or I'm not excited when somebody tells me that a certain prayer request was answered. I'm more about me. It's not a good place when we drift that direction. It's exciting to be right where God wants you to be. But folks, understand that we can get away and we can begin to drift and get to places where we shouldn't be. David, who was he was a man after God's own heart. That's how he is described, as a man after God's own heart. Obviously, we saw that David would get away from the things of the Lord. We saw that that happened from time to time. But David was called a man after God's own heart for a reason, because he continually sought and was seeking after the Lord, always wanting to draw closer. We just heard a hymn, right? Or a special about drawing nearer to God. And David was all about that. In fact, take a look at Psalm 63. So you're already in the book of Psalms. It's not too far. But in Psalm 63 and verses 1 through 5, it says this. David said, "O God," Psalm 63, the first five verses, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Folks, that's where we ought to be. We ought to have a life that is alive, and we're seeking the Lord on a regular basis and looking unto Him. David sets a great example for us when we look in the Psalms, or when we read about his life story in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. So the psalmist is saying here, as we get back to Psalm 119, he's saying in these first few verses that I've read from verses 25, and right there, he makes it up very, very clear. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." He said, "Lord, I'm at the bottom, and only you can deliver me. Lord, I need thy strength. I need thy help." He says in verse 28 that we read a little bit ago, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." Have you been there, folks? Have you been in a place where your soul melteth for heaviness? There's things that come upon us. There's things that we face and deal with in this life that are heavy burdens. And it's easy to just be overloaded with that. But God is so good that he said that he'll never give us anything that we can't handle. Right? He's good to do that. He's good to take care of us. And it's good for us to just seek his face. Folks, have you ever been in a desperate spot? Have you ever been in a place where you just found yourself begging and seeking God's face? I'll give you two words. Kidney stones. All right? I've had two bouts with kidney stones. My wife has had probably 100. That's probably not even, probably beyond 100. And it makes me just kind of worship my wife. Oh, my goodness. I've had two, and the Lord says, that guy's a wimp. I'll stop at two. I was just like begging God. I remember one was in 2018, another one was a few years ago. Maybe it was two or three. Now, I think two for sure. But I just remember it was after we sold our house across here in the Landings, and then we were in that apartment right there. And then, of course, now we're in Ezra's house, and we're just starting in on our property up in Athol. But I remember being in that apartment, and I remember I told my wife, man, my back kind of hurts. She says, did you hurt it? Did you do something that maybe twist? I said, I don't know what it is, but it's just hurting. And then as time went on, and it wasn't very long, I realized, oh, no, it's my kidney. Oh, and she says, I think you've got a kidney stone. I said, thank you so much. Yes, coming from an expert. I know. You know, tell me what I can do about this. But she's got a lot of concoctions that she's come up with. And, boy, she has gone on social media and figured out some things that really do help. But I was just begging, oh, Lord, please let this pass. Please let it come to pass. Please help me. I was such a baby. But you talk about being desperate. Can you remember a time when you were in a desperate situation and you called out unto God and said, God, would you please help me? Will you please help me? Well, we need to be at a place where we look unto God and we seek his face. And when we do, God will do some great things. God will bring life. God will bring some great answers to prayer. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God is good to do that. The psalmist he's asking here. He is begging. He is pleading for the Lord to help him. Verse 26, he says, teach me. Verse 27, he says, make me to understand. Make me understand, Lord, help me. Verse 28, he says, strengthen me. Verse 29, he says, remove from me. And then he also says, please grant me. Verse 33, he says again, teach me. And verse 36, he says, please, Lord, incline my heart. Will you help me? You see a desperate situation here with the psalmist. The key to all of this is the psalmist's determination to draw close to the Word of God. His desire was to get close to the Word of God. You know, Job said this when you read Job chapter 23 and verse 12, and the psalmist could certainly relate to this. Job said, oh, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I've esteemed the words of his mouth, the things that God has spoken to me, the things that I have read and have held on to, they mean more. I esteem them more highly than even my food that I eat from day to day. And then in verse 30, we continue to go on here. In verse 30, he says, the psalmist, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. These verses clearly show a commitment to God's word, to the Bible. Someone once said this, a Bible that's falling apart often belongs to one who isn't. And as we do commit, folks, as we make this commitment unto the Lord, which we need to, we will see that it will lift us out of the dust that verse 25 speaks of. It will put us back. It will put life back into us. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you feel like your face is in the dust. Just look unto the Lord and call unto Him. Get in His Word and watch what God does, how He will quicken you. It will quicken you, folks. It will quicken you towards spiritual things when you and I call out unto the Lord. Seek the Lord, folks. Pour through His Word, and He will bring life unto your soul. Then secondly, God's Word not only brings life, but God's Word brings righteousness. God's Word brings righteousness. Look at verses 37 through 40 as it says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Turn my eyes, Lord, away from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me. There's that word again. Quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away, please, Lord, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And behold, I have longed after thy precepts. And there's quicken again. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me. Make me alive unto to righteousness and to holiness and to godliness. The Word of God will certainly help us to do what's right and godly in our lives. Folks, it's the milk and the bread and the meat in our lives. It's what sustains us. It's what nourishes us. We need to have it on a regular basis. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." We ought to love it like a little baby loves milk. But then, of course, we need to get beyond that and grow and mature and take on the meat of the word as well. But may we have a desire for it. May it be something that if we go a day without it, we would go, oh, and we're laying down at night and on our heads on the pillow, I didn't read the word of God. I just need to get up and go and read a little bit of the word of God. I think that that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing when we're reminded of the fact that we haven't been in the word of God as we ought to. Or maybe we have, but I haven't let it speak to my heart because I've just been in this habit of just reading it through and not letting God speak to me. You ever get into that rut? Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't much response there, so I feel really guilty because I can get into that rut. I can read the Word of God and go a whole chapter and then go, what did I just read? My mind was over here. I was thinking about this thing I had to deal with. And I had to say, Lord, forgive me, because I read your word and I wasn't even engaged in it. And I'll go back and read it again. And then it speaks to me differently because I've gone to it with a different approach. And I think many times maybe we go, we take that approach as well. And we don't let God speak to us as he ought to. And as we begin, folks, to submit our hearts unto God, he will begin to direct us down the right paths. God will direct us as we simply yield and submit unto him. Proverbs chapter 3, we know those verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? He shall direct thy paths. He will do that. I've watched the Lord been so gracious to me because I have floundered, I have made mistakes, but God's known my heart and I've sought the Lord, and yet there's times when I get sidetracked and I'm about ready to really, mess things up royally. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And God has been gracious to just kind of put a guardrail right there. And I bumped into it and, oh. Lord, look what could have happened. Isn't it good when God does that? You know, he'll do that. He'll do that if we're just humble ourselves before him and say, Lord, will you help me? I'm so prone to making mistakes. I'm so prone to pulling the wrong levers. I'm so prone to making the wrong decisions. Would you help me? I want to do what's right. And this decision I've got to make tomorrow, or this thing I've got to, I don't know thy will, but would you help me? You know, God's so good. He will help you. If you and I just simply look unto him and seek his face and say, Lord, I need thy help. I don't have any discernment here. I don't have any understanding about which way I should go, but I need you to help me. And God's good to do that, folks. He's so gracious, and he will help you to go on the right path. He's a gracious God. Not only is he a great God, but he's a good God. He's a good God. Listen, as time goes by, he begins to establish us so that eventually we begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Whereas our face was in the dust just a little bit ago, he begins to lift us up and he begins to do a work in us as we seek his word, as we get into the word of God. It is so good that God does that for us. Psalm 119 and verse 9, again earlier in the chapter when he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. He'll cleanse us. He'll help us. Colossians 2 and verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. That is what he's wanting to do with you and I, is to establish us, to strengthen us. We must be in this word. We must seek God's face and just be forthright with God. Lord, you know, I've been reading your word and it hasn't been exciting to me. Sometimes it seems dull. Sometimes I find it boring. Will you please help me? And God will work in our hearts if we simply shoot straight with God. God will do something if we just stay at it. Sometimes it's a sense of just doing something out of duty. Sometimes we don't always do something for the right motive. Do we always do everything with a heart full of love? We don't always do that. I always like to think that when our kids were growing up, we always did it, the intent or a motive of love. Sometimes we just did it out of duty, right? Some of you parents are like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Sometimes we do things for the Lord, not always out of our love for him and not always out of a love for the word of God. Sometimes we just have to do things just out of duty because it's just the right thing to do. But it's good to say to the Lord, you know my heart. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know my heart, Lord, and you know that I don't love the word of God as I should. Sometimes I'm just doing it out of obligation. I don't want to do it for that reason. Will you help me? And the Lord's good. The Lord will work in our hearts. I think he just wants to hear it from us. He wants us to be truthful with him. Do you think any of us could really fool God? Certainly not. God sees all things. But that the word of God will keep us clean. It'll keep us clean. It'll help us to live righteously and godly. It's not going to make us sinless. We're still going to find ways to sin. Something gets thrown at us and, oh, all of a sudden we'll lose our temper or we think something or we get covetous or greedy or lustful or whatever it might be. And those things, we have to deal with them. But as we get into the word of God, he'll begin to cause a righteousness and a hunger for righteousness and to do that which is right and which is pleasing unto him. I remember the story about a man who was waiting for a bus at a bus stop. And he's waiting for the bus. And while he is early in the morning and he's sitting there waiting, and this little boy comes running along, and his older sister, it looked like his, you know, a brother and a sister to the man, And they're running by, and they stop, and they see the man, and the man says something to the little girl. He says, my, you know, the little boy was filthy, by the way. And the man says to the little girl, he says, my, it's early in the morning. It's kind of amazing how just in a short little bit of time, your brother has gotten to be so dirty. And she says, oh, no, mister, he didn't get dirty this morning. He went to bed that way last night. You know, that's sometimes how we are as believers. We don't take care of the dirtiness. We don't come to the Lord and seek his face and ask him to forgive us and get our hearts right and get into the word of God and let him do something in our lives. Sometimes we just go to bed dirty, spiritually speaking. So with that establishing and that maturing, you can see how the writer is beginning to progress. He's progressing. And you see in verse 42, it says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. As I get into thy word and as I seek thy face and as you've quickened me, I now feel that I can answer somebody who is wayward, somebody that somebody might reproach me. He says, I have an answer now for them because I've been in your word. I can refute the wicked. And then he says, like in verse 44, I'll jump to verse 44. He says, so shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. I'll be able to endure now that you've strengthened me, now that I'm in your word. God will give you some stamina, folks. He'll give you some endurance. We don't want to be a hit and miss. We don't want to be fickle. Some of you are, I like being fickle. No, fickle's not good. We don't want to be fickle in our Christian life, right? We don't want to be flaky. Anybody realize flaky is not a compliment? Okay, we don't want to be flaky. We want to be strong and steadfast, right? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. That's Brother Jordan's favorite verse. But that's what we ought to be, steadfast and strong. And he will give us, he will help us to be rooted and strengthened in him. And then verse 45, he says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I'll have this liberty about me. I'll have this freedom. I won't feel like I'm bogged down by my sin all the time, because I walk with the Lord, and I feel as if I'm free. It's a great place to be, folks. And then he goes on to say in verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. He says, I'll have boldness. I'll have boldness to witness and to tell others about Christ. He's come a long way from where he was just about 20 verses earlier, hasn't he? And then in verse 47, he says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. I'll have a great delight for your word, Lord. I have a great delight. I just go throughout the day. I long for your word. Like he says in verse 97, when he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then in verse 48, he says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. He says, I will love it, and I will love to meditate on it. Folks, that's a good place for us to be. Is that God's word will bring righteousness in our lives. And he'll do numerous things in our hearts as we love the word of God. C.T. Studd, that great missionary, said this, thy word hallows me on. That means it spurs me on. He says, that word, thy word hallows me on. And it makes me want to do and to dare and to burn for him. He says, man, God's word has done something in my life that I'll go anywhere. I'll go anywhere that you want me to go. I think he's the one that says, and I can't remember how it's stated, but he says, send me anywhere, right up to the gates of hell if you want me to, till I can win some people to Christ. But that's a heart that just is just been stoked by the word of God, by the spirit of God in someone's heart and life. Does the word of God do that to you? Does it do that to me? Does it just kind of spur us on? Does it hallow us on, as C.T. Studd says? The Lord said to Jeremiah in chapter 23 and verse 29, is not my word, Jeremiah? He said, is not my word like as a fire? He said, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And Jeremiah certainly could say yes to that. God said, my word's like a fire, and it'll fire you up. And my word is like a hammer, and it'll break a rock in pieces. My word is powerful. You, Jeremiah, and every one of us here, myself included, we need to be in this word. We need to be in this word on a regular basis. So when these things, these two things that I've talked about, points one and two, that God's word gives life, and then that God's word brings righteousness, if they begin to take place, then something wonderful happens in this last point that I bring out, and we'll see it as we go through some more passage here, is the third thing is God's word brings comfort. God's word brings comfort. It ministers to our hearts. It ministers to our hearts. And God can do that in a great, great way. You and I need to know that on a regular basis. Listen, we all look for comfort with earthly things, right? We all look for comfort with earthly things. Probably on the top of that list is, you know, just my wife and I talked about, man, it's cold today. We need to go somewhere and get some comfort food. We need some comfort food. Any of you ever gone out for some comfort food? Or maybe you've made it at home, some comfort food. I'll tell you a great comfort food I'm thinking right now is just, I'm just seeing a chimichanga going floating right by me right now. A chimichanga with carne asada. That would be great comfort food for lunch. I'm sorry if I'm distracting you. I'm being too transparent here. But we like things. Comfort us. Listen, we look and we see products that'll comfort people. We see things that, all about us that, oh, you'll be comforted if you do this. If you get the right kind of a pillow, my pillow, it'll comfort you at night. You'll sleep better. Or, amen. All right, good. See, we have right there. You could do a commercial for us, Brother Victor. I'm reminded of what Proverbs chapter 6 says in verses 20 through 22. And maybe you might want to turn there. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. I'll just turn there and read them. I have them written down on my page. But it's good to just look and see the Word of God. As he says this, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 22, he says, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. He says, bind them continually upon thine heart. Bind them on your heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You know, I think if we have a lot of the Word of God, and maybe as we go to sleep at night, we have some precious verses that are right there, I think the Lord will just help us to sleep better at night. It says, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I love that. When you awake, and if we have, you know, what does the Bible say in Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if it's dwelling in us richly, as we go about, and when we awake, he says, my word will talk to you. Yeah, we don't hear it audibly here, unless you're walking along and you're listening to Alexander Scorby, okay? Read the Bible. No, but as we go about, the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord who lives inside of us will minister the Word of God to us. And the Word of God will talk to you and I. We just need to do a better job of hiding it in our hearts. And may I raise my hand? I need to do a better job of that. I think a lot of verses that I have memorized, certainly, but I can certainly add to that. Anybody here maybe the same thing? Certainly. And the Word of God will speak to each and every one of us. The Word of God will be our constant companion. C.H. Spurgeon said this, better the Bible in the memory than in the bookcase. Better the Bible in the memory than in the bookcase. Psalm 119 and verse 11, again, earlier there in the chapter, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. When we hide the Word of God. The psalmist goes on to say, what exactly is happening unto him because of God's Word? What is happening to him is just amazing. He says in verses 49 and verse 50, he says, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I hope on your word now. He said, this is my comfort. There it is. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath what? Hath quickened me. Thy word hath made me alive. Thy word has quickened me and it comforts me. He proclaims that this word has quickened, past tense. It has quickened him and has obviously lifted him to new levels. He's invigorated. The psalmist has been made alive. Listen, we all want to be invigorated, right? We all want to be invigorated. Yeah, when I watch TV, I'll watch, you know, a lot of sports. I like to watch Fox News. And when you watch Fox News, 99.9% of those commercials seem like they're for old people. That's just kind of like what I'm kind of gathering. Because the products they sell is like to be able to sleep well at night, to something that helps your aching bones and your joints for joint comfort, and also maybe some anti-wrinkle creams and lotions. So maybe there's a big percentage of the audience that's watching it, probably a little bit older. But what? We go for those things because we're trying to make life a little easier for us as we get older, right? Yeah, we want to be quickened as much as we possibly can, physically speaking. But he goes on to say here, I'll read verse 50 again. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And then we'll go on. He says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I went to those words that comfort, and it strengthened me. And I comforted myself just by the fact that I knew where to go. You know, when we're sick, you know, I don't know that we call them medicine cabinets now. You know, we always had the medicine cabinet as a kid, you know, I mean, growing up. And yeah, there's, you know, there's the mirror, and then it's like, whoa, that's a door. Oh, what are all those things in there? Some of those things I got in as a kid and was not good. One of them tasted like chocolate. I won't go down that road. There's some things in there that you're like, son, you need to go get some of the, Alka-Seltzer or, you know, Pepto-Bismol. Pepto-Bismol was the cure-all for us as kids. Yeah, man, that thing in that pink bottle or that pink stuff inside that clear bottle is like a cure-all for everything. That's what I was made to believe. You know, and maybe just happened, you know, thinking positively was a big part of it. But, you know, we know where to go, or we knew where to go when something is going on with you, right? You know, like if you have a headache, you wouldn't go and open up that little chocolate piece of thing that I was talking about. You wouldn't go to that thing. You wouldn't know where to go. And you know what? When something's going on in our life, we ought to be good enough and skilled enough to know where to go, to read it and say, Lord, thank you. That ministers to me. It's just good to read it. It's just good to know it came from the God of all creation, my God, my Father, and I can read what you've written down, and it's just spoken to my heart. Folks, it's good to have it in the memory, yes, but it's sometimes just good to open it up and just to read it and to see what God says to us and what it does and how it comforts us and how it strengthens us. And so it goes on. Let me see here. Where did I leave off? The proud, I'll read verse 51. I'm not sure where I left off. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. So he said there in verse 50, it gave me comfort in affliction. In verse 51, it gave me an unbreakable spirit. In verse 52, it talks about thy judgments of old, those commandments that go way back, those wonderful words of counsel. I think of Isaiah 25 and verse 1 when I read that, where it says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And then verse 54 talks about the word has been a song unto me. It's a song in my heart. And then verse 55 says, the word comforts me in the night. Folks, we're going to go through some dark times when it's likened to being in the middle of the night. But God can comfort you. God can give you a song in the night. God can comfort you in the midst of some troubles and some troublous times, and when your health is broken, or when something's happened in a relationship, or when something has happened in your life that you don't have an answer for, God can strengthen you. God can quicken you, and he can comfort you in whatever situation that you find yourself in. So often, we just take God's word for granted, folks. And again, I've done that too many times. We look at the words, at these words as just words in a book, as just words on a page, like any other book. Sometimes I know we don't think that way when we really give it thought, but I think sometimes when we're not plugged in, we might treat it that way. I'm not about to indict all of you. I know you don't do that, but there are times when we probably don't make it as special as we ought to, and we kind of what's the best word? We kind of relegate it to just like any other book. No, this is no ordinary book, folks. It's no ordinary book. It's the only book where the author is continually at the reader's side. In fact, he's inside, right? We have the author inside of us in the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, let's be mindful of our accountability before the Lord. We are to be good stewards of his word. We're to be good stewards of this word and mindful of it. Someone said this, be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. Some people are not going to touch this book, but if they see something in your life, we're to let it do the work. Let it do the work that God intended it to do. Let his work do that work in our hearts, in our lives. Let it quicken our hearts. Let it revive us. That's not going to happen unless we're reading it, folks, and we're praying over it, and we're meditating upon it, and we're obeying it, and we're loving it. Unless we're doing those things, it's not going to quicken to the measure that it should. But that just comes with, Lord, help me. I want to love your word. I want to love it more than anything. Now, maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Well, this precious book tells us about a Savior that came and died on a cross for us so that we could be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here without Jesus Christ, this Bible tells us that God became a human being, God the Son, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus lived a sinless life and went to a cross for you and for me. But if you're here without Christ, he went to the cross for you and was buried and rose again. He wants to be your Savior. He's not looking for you to try to work your way to heaven, because nobody can make their way to heaven on their own. It's by the grace of God. It's by receiving that wonderful, unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ is that unspeakable gift. So if you're here without Jesus Christ, then just a moment now, we'll have an invitation, and I would encourage you to come and to step out in the aisle, come to the front. We'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. But maybe God's spoken to your heart, child of God. Maybe he's spoken to your heart about being quickened. This word quickens us. There's times when our soul cleaveth unto the dust, and I think we know what that's like, but we don't want to be there. We don't want to be there long. If we find ourselves there, we should know what to do. We should just know to go right to the Lord and seek his face and then watch what he does and watch how he begins, how he quickens us and how he gives us strength and how he establishes us and how he comforts us. Maybe that's what's needed today. And if God is speaking to your heart, then I want to just challenge you to respond to him. So let's bow our heads at this time with our heads bowed and our hearts on the Lord. Vicky's coming up. She's going to begin playing and begin to play. And then we'll have a hymn of invitation. This might be a good time for you to simply just come before the Lord and seek his face and look unto him. If you're here without Christ, then this is a great time to be saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. What a wonderful time to be saved. So I would just encourage you to step out in the aisle and come forward, and we'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us. Lord, thank you for your word. Will you help me, Lord? Forgive me. Because as I've spoken about it, I know I've been guilty many times, Lord, of taking your word for granted, of just going through it out of habit, not allowing you to speak to my heart. So Lord, help me. Help every one of us to love your word as we ought to. Lord, it quickens us. It's a supernatural book. It's an amazing book. Lord, help us to love it with all of our hearts. Help us to hide it in our hearts. Lord, I pray for anybody here without Christ that you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.